Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
We had some memorable God moments and times and powerful times as we learned how to, not just about the life of the Spirit, but the how-tos. And there's still, like I told them, there's nothing, it can't be covered in a few sessions. But if we can get started on the journey, the word that's led in the scripture that says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That word led means actually to be taken on an expedition. So I believe your expedition journey is happening. Amen? And an expedition is a little bit different than just going on a trip. It means there's exploring going on. It means there is observation and there's searching. There's much more. So many as are on the expedition of the Holy Spirit. You see, God has much life for us to experience. He called it life more abundantly. And the word says, he that has the Son has that life. Amen. We called it the Red Conference because some years ago when we were evangelizing, I used an example the Lord gave me to help people to realize what it said in Romans chapter 8 about being spiritually minded, because the word says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And also the word says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. I think we all know in here that the battleground is the mind, isn't it? That's why we have to have the renewing of our mind. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. This Bible up here, this is the Word of God. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. But he said also these words, they are spirit and they are life. And so it's a spiritual mind. And the word minded there, to be spiritually minded, it means to, in other words, you have a choice of which one you want to focus on. You have a choice of what you want to be mindful of. There used to be a term I hadn't heard in years, but somebody, they'd use the term, who's minding the store? Y'all ever heard that? What does that mean? Doesn't that mean that they are focused on taking care of that store and they're overseeing that store? In other words, they, right now, their whole intent and purpose is to be about that store. Well, when we're spiritually minded, our intent is to be about doing the will of God and following after His Spirit. And so to show how that, and an example that how we can intentionally be mindful of something, I said, look around and see red, anything that's red, identify it. And we did that in the conference, but I'm going to ask everybody in here right now, just look around and see where all you can see red. Are you seeing red all around you? I know this is obvious, right? That's fine. You claim that one? And did anybody see any red dots around anywhere? I mean, you saw red dots around somewhere. What about red light bulbs? See some red light? Good, good. You're looking up as well as down. There's even red dots on the back wall. Anybody see it on the floor? I do see there's one right here on the floor, whatever. So really, it's all around us. But did you notice while you were looking for the red that you really just ignored every other color? You bypassed it. You may have seen them, but you said, no, that's not it. You see, to be spiritually minded, you learn how to recognize what's God and what's not. What's the voice of God and what is not? But we have to intentionally set ourselves to learn His voice and to recognize the way His Spirit works. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, He said. He teaches us all things. He speaks what the Father speaks so we can hear Him. We can be led by Him. And He says He shows us the things to come. So He gives us pictures of things as well. He uses natural things of this world to show us a picture. Jesus did that often with parables. He was painting a picture of a spiritual truth. Amen. Abraham was told by God so he could see what God was going to make of him, the nations that he was going to make. He said, look at the sky and look at the stars. I want you to see that's how many descendants are going to come out of you and out of the miraculous thing I'm going to do in your life. He gave him a picture of that. So sometimes God shows us, and we see the natural things, but we're seeing more than that. We're seeing a God thing. But it has to be an intentional thing on our part. It's not just waiting for God to just drop something on us, but it's a way of living 24 hours a day because the Spirit of God never sleeps. The Spirit of God is 24/7. The Spirit of God is always in the fullness of the earth. Hallelujah, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. That God is an omnipresent God. He is everywhere. Do y'all agree with that? Amen. Then if He's everywhere, then I can see Him in everywhere. I can hear Him in any place, any time. Leah gave her testimony regarding about Danny Gokey and how that remarkable thing happened. But God would wake her up in the middle of the night to pray for Danny and how that, you know, will you allow God to disturb your sleep? What if God says, I know you're sleeping right now, but can we talk right now? Because I have some things I need to say to you right now before all those other voices of your life come in and interfere. While you don't have the TV on, while you don't have your phone on, while you don't have that, I know right now I can get your full attention.
Amen. That's good.
Will you let God choose? But I'm telling you, if we're not looking for Him to speak to us, we won't see Him. No more than if you weren't looking for all those reds, you wouldn't have noticed all of them. You have the ability, just as much as you have the ability to see with your natural eyes, God has given you the ability through the measure of faith that He has given every man to see and hear Him, or you'd have never found salvation. I'm thankful for the resources that God has given us through His Holy Spirit and His Word, amen, to live this life fully and to have extraordinary things happen in our lives. Part of the way that He helps us is also through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit help us to fulfill the ministry of Jesus in this earth. That it is unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think now, according to the power that works within us. That works within us. Not that we carry within us. Not that I say, boy, I have the Lord in me. Okay, what's He done lately? Show me some action. Show me some fruit. Don't you like it when people are more than just words? Well, don't you like God to be more than just words? Jesus said these words, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say these words are knowledge. And just leave it there. He didn't just say these words are truth. They are. But these words are of His Spirit. They're more than a language. They're an activity of God. And God said, let there be. And I tell you, God is still letting things be. And if we will let Him be God, we will see more of the activity of God. People get tired of church, but you can never get tired of an active God because He's continuously taking you from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So we've got to pursue and look for Him. We've got to look for Him. We've got to have our heart always listening. When you're in conversation with some stranger, and you could be among family, it could be in at work, or you're standing in line at the grocery store, the Holy Spirit, He goes to the store with you. He does. Anybody ever have the Lord show you something in the store? Yeah? Amen. We're wasting power. We're so intent on saving the natural power of our electricity. We buy efficient appliances. We're told by our electric company, you need to turn off the lights. And let me tell you, we don't need to turn off the lights spiritually, though. We need to turn up the light. There will always be a source of power. We'll stop trying to conserve the power. Who are you saving it for? Who are you saving that gift for? Who are you saving that faith for? Who are you saving those gifts of the Spirit for? What are they doing? Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. Stir them up. You think it's just so you can say, I got the gift. I got, we are impressed. Whoa, that moved me. I was so impressed. Still sick. But I'm impressed. My heart is still broken, but boy, I'm impressed. Sometimes we have to be absurd just to make a point. Because it is absurd. We should be convicted of that. And say, God, forgive me. Oh, somebody, I feel that presence of conviction in the room right now. And conviction is a good thing with God, because hallelujah, He is a healer and a restorer and a redeemer. He just wants to get us on track with Him and say, now go and sin no more. Let's get to it. He's not come here to condemn us. He's on this, when in reality, from our delusional thinking that we've got a handle on this, when in reality, we just keep coming back Sunday after Sunday, so we're made to feel good because we ain't doing nothing out there to make anybody else feel good through the power of God. We should be generous with the gifts. Isn't that right, Brother Newton? We need to be generous with the Word. We need to be generous with what God has given us. You see, I found oftentimes is the reason we're not. It's because we have not learned how to extract testimony. How many times as an evangelist or as a pastor, I have been in services where the explosion of God happened. And many things happen, and that night we come back for service, and I say, somebody give a testimony what God has done. Everybody just sitting there like God hadn't done a thing. I'm thinking, wait a minute, were we in the same place. I saw you weeping. I saw you shouting. I saw you praying for one another. I saw things. I saw the countenance on your face change. I saw all these things. And you're saying like you ain't got, well, I don't know if I got a testimony. Did you get touched at all? You see, my wife, we've been married for 49 years coming this August, okay? Yeah. Praise God. Whenever she cooks a meal, do I not still compliment your meal and thank you for cooking me that meal? It doesn't matter if she made me a sandwich or she cooked a steak. I don't just call. She brought me the steak. I thank her, or she brought me a plate with some cheese and crackers and olives. Sorry. Then I really thank her. You got to learn how to acknowledge God, or we're not going to have any better church services. And we're not going to have better lives because you don't acknowledge God in your journey. You have gotten to where you take this level of blessings that some people would have never had in their life, and you take them for granted. And so you don't see it as anything to testify about anymore. Anytime God touches me, I should give testimony. I should have a testimony in my heart and a thanksgiving. If you don't do this, you're going to feel like your life is always in need of something instead of being fulfilled, instead of God with you. Y'all getting this? There's testimonies in every individual. Well, I mean, you drove up in one today. It got you here. There's a guy broken down on the road, didn't get somewhere today. There's somebody's radiator that started leaking, and some little mother with her children are stranded and can't go to the store because all the water poured out of her car. And we got here. I remind myself to always thank you, Lord, for prospering us in health, prospering us financially, meeting our needs, prospering us spiritually. Thank you, Lord, for the family that I have, for the health that we have. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to do the things we do. You know, I'm about to be 75 in just a couple of weeks, and I was I'd get up and clean the leaves out of my gutter. And so I'm up on a ladder, and as you age, you don't like those heights as, like you used to. I used to just bound up of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, so I mean, used to I could just bound up a ladder, and I wouldn't even wait till I got to the bottom to jump off. No, I'm looking for that last step now. That's right, twice. That's right. But I'm up there, and I cleaned that whole gutter around our entire house. That's a lot of gutter, up and down, hot work. And I felt such testimony. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to do that. I give you glory. Thank you for blessing me with that health at this age. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 You see, I've just found that complaining does not give me life. Hallelujah. It does not. In fact, it just saps like a leech draws the life out of. And I'm telling you this, that you wanted us to have this conference. And I thank you for yielding the platform to us today. He said, whatever you want me to do or not do. He wants the move of God here. And first of all, I think you should really praise God for a pastor who puts God first. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's that kind of humility that where power flows. It's the conduit for power. Pride stops it up immediately. But for you to see the works of God happen here more often, there must be an overcoming power in this church. And the word says that we are overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb and what else? The word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. Brother Mike, thank God for the testimonies you have in your life, and there's one of them sitting right by you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what an anointed lady he has given you as your partner in life. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, Leah. Come here. Mary Clark. And your husband can escort you up here, okay? I hope y'all know that this, none of this has been organized. We're being led. Where do you want her? Both of them? Oh, both of them. Okay. Okay.
Oh, for several weeks, both of you have been discussion in our house. And I just wanted to tell you, first of all, that I felt like that God wanted me to tell you that he's been talking about you too. He's been planning for you and talking about your future. And much longer than you know about. But, Mike, I see so much stacked up in you. So much word stacked up in you. And so much power stacked up in you. And I believe that God is about to activate what is inside of you. And this pairing, this union, it has a lot of purpose that's greater than what you think. Don't get comfortable in your everyday lives, because I believe God's about to shake it up. And he's about to put you to use as a unit. Your steps have been so ordered of God, and the distance that he has brought you to be here is for such an appointed time. Like Esther, for such a time as this. And I believe that this is coming this year. I don't believe it's a long way off. But there is more fulfillment for you in the things that you have been longing for. But in addition, in a ministry way as well. And I see the power and the purpose of God in both of your lives. And what's in you is what's causing what's in him to be activated. And it is the two things together. It is the combination of the two of you and of the spirit that has God has so cultivated in you, and that you have cultivated the presence that you have pursued and the commitments that you have made and how you've surrendered yourself to that humility. It has bred so much a richness of his spirit in you. And I believe that in this year that the calling on your lives will be very clear to you, and that you're going to have place for that. You're going to have place to put that. It's not going to be any wondering about when and where, but you're going to be shown a clear direction. And
Mary Carr, as she was giving that, can I hold your hand? Lord showed me, you know, how like a little girl can hide under the skirts of her mother. But there's a time where you come out from under the skirts. And God says, I've kept you under the skirts of my robe. Like a mother would shelter a frightened child or a bashful child under her skirts. But now as you're coming out, now is your revealing. And now I have filled you with the courage to stand away from the skirts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Would y'all stretch your hand toward both of them right now? Mike, put your hand on around your wife, because you're a unit. You are one. Hallelujah. And it's like the chemical of each heart has come together to make one reaction. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive this word from heaven today. Hallelujah. For a couple that has an ordination of a purpose of God upon them. And Lord, you had to bring the elements together. But I thank you all together. And Lord, you had to season and you had to prepare. But I thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's about now to come forth and be that usable, Lord, revelation of God, and the testimony of it shall shine and have an effect upon the people of unbelief and the people of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your anointing explode upon their life. Let the room be made for their gifts. In the name of Jesus Christ, let courage arise in them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord with me in here, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Y'all can stay right there as long as you want to. I don't care. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We learned about the gifts of the Holy Spirit yesterday. We learned about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. We learned about the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the discerning of spirits, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of faith. So as we see the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that just happened just then, that was the gift of prophecy that also had a word of wisdom in it. The gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Didn't that have all that in it? Word of wisdom speaks to the future. It's what God knows that we didn't know, but he reveals that fragment of his wisdom for that specific time. Brother, the power of the Holy Ghost is in your future in ways like you thought you had some good times, and you remember those times when it happened, and you've even wondered sometimes if you would ever experience that again. No, you're going to experience it greater than that again. You will literally melt under his power. It almost will be frightening to you. I feel like we need to stand and praise right now. I feel like we need to stand and release our worship in here. Release our thanks. Release our testimony. Thank you, Lord. 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 Holy God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Turn to somebody and say, I've got testimony in my life. Confess it. I got testimony in my life. God does things in me. Hallelujah. 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 Come here, Jessica. Y'all can be seated. Hallelujah. You feel the power of God on you right now? There's power up here. Hallelujah. God touched her yesterday in a powerful way. I don't know what all she's going to say, but she's an over. Her words were released, overcoming power. And I love it. It's like we talked about yesterday. I love it when the teeth of the devil gets knocked out, fractured. Hallelujah. And there's no dentist for him.
I'm going to try not to cry through all of this. My tissue. So to explain what happened for me yesterday, I have to go back to 2011. It was a time in my life that God asked me to let go of some things in my heart that were my heart's desire. And I thought I had done that completely. It was around the time of my youngest, Elia's birth. And I remember during that time, you know, asking God, you know, is this you? Do you really want me to let go of this? Because it felt like my heart, and you're asking me to give it up. And I remember the day that David and I decided on her name, and I didn't know what it meant. But her name is Elia Claire, and it means God has spoken clearly. And so I moved on from that. And since my uncle passed in February, my heart has been broken. And God has really shown me that I haven't let go of everything in my heart. That I've kept a little room, walked away, hoping for this thing that he asked me to give up. And I knew at some point you're going to have to give it up completely, because you have to give your heart completely to God for him to do what he needs to do in your life. But I've held on to it, and I've my plan. It doesn't work like that. So yesterday, Pastor said, anybody that feels like they're fighting the devil, come up here. And I came up here, and I knew God had me come up here. And he came over and took my hand, and he took me over there, and he said, you don't belong there. You've already fought that battle, and you've won. It's been defeated, and you don't belong there anymore. And when he said, you've already been there, I knew again, God's saying, let it go completely this time. And so I've been thinking back, you know, to 2011, and God kept showing me, it's been 8 years. It just kept stirring in my spirit. And this morning, I looked up the significance of the number 8 in the Bible. On the 8th day, that's when they took the children to go have them circumcised. And we know what Jesus says, circumcise your heart. You know, and so God's asking me to do that again. And today is Elia's 8th birthday, to put a little bow on that.
Boy, I tell you, when you said that last part, I'm telling you, I just felt something drop. You cannot plan that. And here again, that was a word of knowledge about what had happened, that I didn't know anything about her. I just saw a picture. We have to learn how to recognize when it's God speaking. We think it's our imagination or this or that. But I'm filled with God, and I've devoted myself to be mindful of Him. You need to trust the Spirit that is within you. He shows you things, okay? And I saw her on this. When I saw her standing in that group, it's like God, first of all, just magnified her to me and made her stand out among the group. And then instantly, I saw her standing on this dark ground. It was like dark ground. And I didn't know, as I'm hearing your testimony now, you've been over that ground before. All I knew is that immediately God said, she doesn't belong there. Take her out of there now. You don't belong there. And I got her hand. I didn't know what all that meant. And I walked her over here, and I just told her that. I said, all I can tell you don't belong there. You've already been through that battle, already fought that battle. It was like a dark battle, you see, and it was barren. There was nothing growing there. It was like just dark dirt. And when I said that to her, then she just broke so much. You see, that's another indicator of the Holy Spirit in it, Jessica, is because only the Spirit of God can break our spirit. Amen. Only the Spirit can touch us in that deep place. There's a deep in her that was calling to deep. And God touched you there. And then to find out what I'm hearing today, and then that it's her birthday, her eighth birthday. And the number eight, it represents also a new beginning. I think that God has given a great testimony to set before you today of what He can do to bring us out of an ongoing battle that we don't have to keep fighting. Praise God, it's already been defeated, but as long as the enemy can keep us thinking, we got to keep fighting it. But it took the truth of God's word, and by a spirit and by a way. That's why the gifts are important. She heard it from somebody who didn't know what was going on. Praise God, He uses us as individual. Who will benefit from the gift through you? Do you understand? Praise God. If that's all I heard today, I'd go home and say, praise God, it's been a great day. Do you understand what that does to build my faith as well? Amen. That I can celebrate because of that, but I stand in awe of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that's doing this, and it's the love of God that's the motivation. It's always the motive of God. This is how He demonstrates His love. I want you to just stretch your hand toward Jessica. Let me have your hand, hon. It's the day that will be marked in her life. It's a banner day. My Lord. And Lord, I know when the circumcision took place, there was some crying. She did some crying yesterday. But hallelujah, the covenant that stands for. Hallelujah, of separating, Lord, from what was to what now God will do. Hallelujah. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you, Lord, for the timing of it, even for today of the eighth birthday. God, we just couldn't. How can we thank you enough? How can we thank you enough? How can we thank you enough, Lord? Lord, we testify of your glory, of your goodness, of your tenderness, of your love, Lord, and of your timeliness. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Make another praise noise unto the Lord this morning. Thank you, honey. Praise the Lord. My Lord. You know, another thought I was having, I remind myself to never, never take for granted what God is doing in these services. I think you have to stay in that place of humility. I'll be with you in just a second, Brother David. And I was thinking, I'm so impressed with God that I have to sing something, say something, praise something, lift my hand to something. I cannot, because he's impressed me that much. I'm sorry for you that have not been so impressed with your God that you have nothing to say. You have no hand to lift to him. You have no worship. I pray that one day God will impress you to where you can't keep your mouth shut about him. I pray that one day you will get a revelation of his awesomeness, that you can't keep your hand down, but you must lift them to him and give him what he deserves and what he's worthy of. I'm glad I have an impressive God. I'm glad I have one whose name is called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're mighty God. Hallelujah. Your name is Wonderful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. My Lord. What you got, Brother David?
Well,
besides a good-looking shirt.
Sitting back there, I was thinking about how long I've been married and how faithful God's been to me.
Can I hold that a little bit closer
yeah.
to make sure they hear you?
And it occurred to me this red, and I looked at that name, and I thought, that means redeemed.
Yes.
It also means energized.
Yeah, right.
It also means dedicated.
Oh, man.
And... I remember my first experience, and I was hot on fire. Did a lot of things in the church I never expected to do. For instance, one time I felt the holy smoke. I didn't realize that was the holy smoke that I smelled, but I went up to tell the pastor about it, and he ran from me. So... there's a lot of things that's happened to me, even being in my mobile home when we lived in a mobile home. We prayed that the Lord would let us know he's there. And the whole trailer, this is dead of winter, filled up with the smell of flowers. So anyway, I haven't done much as far as testimony. But my wife and I have been married 51 years, and that's a good testimony in itself. So, didn't want to upstage your marriage, but anyway, to give it back to the pastor.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Man. Thank you. And by the way, just a clarification, when he's talking about holy smokes, he wasn't talking about cigarettes, okay? So, there's no such thing, right? And some of you don't know what he's talking about, but I've had two occasions in my life where I've seen the Shekinah glory. Some call it a smoke. It's like a mist. The first time was in 1973 when I was just 4 years old. That we were ministering. At First Assembly of God in Waco. We lived in Houston at that time, and we were traveling as a trio with my wife and her brother, and we were not full-time at that time. We were part-time, so we would go out on weekends and get home late or early morning on Monday morning and go work our jobs and go back out and minister on the weekends. So... we were ministering that morning and that night. And that night, we're up there, and we would sing as well as preach and whatever. And we're singing a song. I don't even remember what we were singing. But the presence in the room changed. Something happened in the atmosphere. And by the way, that Hebrew word for the Spirit means breath and presence, both, or atmosphere. It can be both, or the atmosphere. So when we want the breath of God, will you sing that chorus? Let him breathe on me. All of a sudden, the pastor steps up to the platform. I didn't know why he was stepping to the platform. We weren't finished with the service. And he says, if I can just have the mic just a moment, he said, and the house was full that night. He said, can we just stop? He said, look. And we looked up, and it was one of those churches that had a real high peak ceiling, beautiful wood beams and wood. And he said, look at the cloud. And we looked up, and that whole congregation saw the presence in the cloud of glory. You think that's not a life-changing experience? I'd always heard about the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord. And, you know, that cloud that led them by day and the fire that led them by night. There's other occasions. I'm not going to teach all on that right now, but went home and driving back to Houston, and God certainly poured out his presence and power in that service. You have remarkable things happen when you have the glory of God. But I couldn't get it out of my vision and my thought. And it was just a simple message, let's cross over to Jesus' side and see what he has for. And it's because it is just that decision. I don't know if there's anybody here today that you're not living in Jesus' side. You need to cross over from this life into his life. He said, come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Confess Jesus as your Lord today. He has experiences for you that you can't even imagine. And that song became it played on radio and places, whatever, out of that one simple message. Heavenly blessings are ours to receive is where the verse starts. Do you believe that God wants to give you heavenly blessings? Heavenly blessings. Jesus said, pray it this way. He said, let it be done on earth, what? As it is in heaven. Second time, we were traveling. This was in 1976. That was in 73, 76, and we were still going out. But we were more involved in ministry and doing things. And I'd actually quit my job and was full-time and whatever, but all of our team wasn't. And we had finished a service, I don't remember where now, and we're driving late at night. We had finished on a Saturday night, and we're driving, pulling our car, our trailer with our car, and headed to a church to set up early on Sunday morning and start again. And pretty well everybody was either quiet or asleep. And I'm driving the car, and all of a sudden I started getting this witness inside of me, pull the car over. Now, I believe God can help protect us from shield. Amen. He's our defense. And I didn't know why, but it was enough that, you see, you got to learn to recognize and trust the Spirit of God. To follow after God and to be one who walks led by the Spirit of God, you got to trust God. Work on your trust. Stop distrusting God. He's not a man that he would lie. Okay? Yes, there is risk. Sometimes you may fail, but he is one that even if we stumble, he will not let us fall. He'll pick us up and just go. Remember Peter walking on the water? Yeah. Okay. So I knew I need to pull that car over. In fact, it became an urgency in me. Boy, I pulled that car over to the shoulder of the road, and they didn't know why I was stopping, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, and so there was hardly any traffic. There wasn't traffic back then like there is today. Interstate service, miles between cars sometimes. Immediately when I pulled over to the shoulder of the road, I didn't even get it in park. My spirit broke. Brother Newton, I began to just my head fell on the steering wheel, and I just began to weep. And Lee and I, you and I were talking about when we recount some of these things, we still feel the emotion, no matter how many years ago. And I'm telling it right now, I still feel stirred. Because why? Because it was of the eternal spirit of God. And so I can still feel the touch that I felt. That's why David said, "Restore unto me, O Lord, the joy of my salvation time." And I just started weeping. I didn't say nothing to anybody. And all of a sudden, others started praying and weeping. And the prayer of the Holy Spirit began to come forth in people. And we were just prayer in that car. I still got it in drive. I don't know how I even knew to keep the brake on. And while we were praying, I sensed something. I sensed there was something else in the car. So much that I opened my eyes, and there was this mist, and it was almost like an emerald green mist. I found out later in the Word how that color is very similar to what, when you research about the throne of God in Revelation, it is in that color realm. I didn't know that at that time. Say anything. And I saw that. And I was amazed again, but I didn't say anything. I thought, I don't know what they would think, you know. So, but right after that, then one of the team gave a message in tongues. And then there was an interpretation of tongues. And that was a confirming of our time to step out into full-time ministry. We have been praying for that, but we didn't want to miss the timing of God. That's a major step. When you're taking five people full time out on the road, that's a big responsibility. And so we rejoice. Then young man that sang with us and played guitar was in the back seat. And when we got through, he said, "By the way, did anybody happen to see something in the car?" I said, "Well, describe it. What do you mean?" And he said, "I saw this mist. I felt I had to open my eyes, and I saw this mist. And immediately when I saw it, I knew it was the glory of God that was in this car." And I tell you what, we had another prayer time and another shouting time, because God came and put his stamp of approval on that. He gave us the starting date to start of the first Sunday in January of 1977. And praise God, we only had one revival booked that whole month. There's no way we could have done it. But we did what he said to do. We went to the first revival, got up preaching for 28 days out of the month of January, and it just went on for there for the rest of the time of our tenure out there. Praise God for that. God knows what he's doing, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't seeking, and you, Brother David, you weren't seeking to see that cloud of his presence. You're seeking him. I don't care how God manifests. I just want him. I just want him. Pastor Russell, come here, brother. Come here, honey. My wife told me when she first came up on the platform that she had something, that there's something for you. And you're supposed to stand over here and turn around. We're going to put you where you're supposed to be, bro. Put you in your place. I'll tell you that. Your wife has asked us to put you in your place. No, I'm just...
Actually, I want Katina down here, too.
Glory.
When God showed me this, it really was just for you, but then it kind of expanded as he's expanded on things this morning. It expanded in me. So that's why I had to have her down here. And I want to go back to when he was exhorting about the keys this morning. And I felt like that was being significant to you, yeah, as he was sharing that. But as being a musical person, my mind went to a different direction. Mm. And I, you know, sometimes when God does give us things, and he just may give us a piece of something. And as I told you the other night, you know, that you only share what as much as God gives you. You don't expand on it in your natural self. And so I don't even understand all of this. But I'm just going to tell you what I felt the Spirit told me. Sure. That there's another dimension of your ministry that you haven't arrived at yet. And the reason you haven't arrived there yet is because you're playing in the wrong key. And there's another key you need to play in. And I knew that being a musical person, you would understand that analogy as well, not just the key to unlock, because, you know, Jesus is, you're already using Jesus. But this has to do with, I can't even understand it and explain it. So that's for you to figure out what God's going to speak to you in your heart. But it has to do with the key that you're playing in. And she, like me, with him, is your helpmate. And she'll know when you're playing in the right key. And she's going to be a witness to you. And so she's going to help you find that key. It's a musical key. So I just wanted, that's as much as I have. That's all I'm going to tell you. And let God do the rest of it in his Spirit. And I'm just going to pray over you now. Father, I just ask you right now that you expand and broaden this word that you've given us this morning. And God, though we can't understand it in our natural minds, but with our spirit we will understand it. And we just depend on you to show us the things that you want to show us. God, and I have every confidence that you're going to show Russell exactly what you are speaking through this, and you're going to take him to that other dimension. Yes. You ultimately, that is the goal, that you want to take him to that other dimension. You want his ministry to expand. Yes. So this is about expansion. Yes. This is about new heights and new depths. And he's going to sing in a different key, Father, than he sang before. And Father, we just believe that Kachina is going to witness that in him, and she's going to be there to help and support him and to see it happen. And she's just going to thank you for it, this helpmate, and help to guide him all through this way. And we thank you for it, this Father, this morning. We know that you are going to have your way in this couple's life. We thank you for the blessing that they are to this church. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon their life, God.
Thank you, Lord. For I'm raising the level. As you would raise a key to a higher key, I am raising your anointing to a higher anointing. I'm raising your hearing to a higher hearing. I'm raising your voice to a higher voice. And I'm raising your freedom to a higher freedom, says the Lord. I'm raising you to a higher key. In the authority of Jesus' name, pray it, says the Lord. In the authority of Jesus' name, receive it, says the Lord. In the authority of Jesus' name, you shall accomplish it, says the Lord. For now is the time to raise to the higher level, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord with a right now. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I look at both of you here just a moment? You took a great step of courage in the gifts of the Spirit on Friday night. And y'all have taken other big steps in your life. And I know that you both have a servant's heart. I think that's one thing that drew you together, and that your heart's could dovetail with each other. And the word that is just given here, we have to learn to live on a new level. Just like you had to learn to live married rather than single. But you can learn it. But remember to learn it. God has ordained it for you. And he's readied you for it. Because you've been faithful on this level, I'm going to raise you up. He's raising you up. Live it. Live it higher now. Live it louder. Live it greater. Live it more free, more loose, more confident, more trusting. Amen. And can I say that I believe that there's some others in here receiving that right now. I don't know, this couple right back here, you've got the striped black and white dress on, and you, I don't know y'all, but I do know that you could take that word for your own. Because the level you're on in life, and y'all know this in your heart, it's not the level you were intended to be. And you may not know quite sure how to go to the places of your visions and dreams, but I can tell you, the more yielded you will be to the Holy Spirit and be spirit-minded, you will see remarkable things as God fills you with courage to take steps you didn't ever think you would take. But that'll be faith in you, because it's supposed to be by faith anyway, isn't it? It's not by our reasoning, and it's not by our natural gifts.
That's right.
Sometimes our natural gifts can take us somewhere we wish we hadn't gone. What's your name? You can stand to your feet, madam. Weren't you playing the guitar up here last week? Because sometimes there is a drawing for our natural gifts to want to take us somewhere. Our gifts will try to lead. Our gifts will try to be the voice that speak to us instead of the voice of the one who gave us the gift. You have great gifts. You have more than one. God has given you many talents, Madison. You actually could come to a fork in the road that would be more than two roads. I see where there would be several roads you could take. And sometimes that's not easy for a gifted person to know which one. But I believe God, beginning today, is going to drop in your heart a witness and a knowing that I know that I know. And it's not that you won't carry your other gifts with you, but there's something that's primary. There's something that's primary. And sometimes we get convinced, well, then if I go this way, then I have to kind of drop that other. No, you carry it all. It all has a purpose for you. It all plays into the whole. Are you following what I'm telling you? In Jesus' name, would you just lift your hands? Hallelujah. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. Do you not? You've been filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you not? You believe so? You be certain of that. You be a yielded, I mean, almost radical. You were born to be a little bit radical. Hallelujah. So accept that. Accept that. And don't back off from it. You let that boldness in you come out, girl. You hear me? Praise God, you pursue hard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though you may be persecuted, you will not be distressed or defeated. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God fill you to the fullness of your anointing, gifts, and purposes. In Jesus' name, and God go before you, make crooked places straight and rough places smooth. Rough places smooth. Yeah, you've already been over some rough places. But I thank you, Lord. The Lord is going before you, make rough places smooth.
in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Madison is going to make a difference. She's going to be a difference maker type of person. She's going to make a difference when she walks into a room. She's going to make a difference in a church. She's going to make a difference with her friends. She's a difference maker in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel like we need to just praise God with her. So let's praise together with, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nathaniel, what did you say?
I just wanted to bear witness in my spirit with you.
Okay. Amen. You couldn't contain. Well, didn't I say we want a God and we can't be quiet? Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Nathaniel. That's another witness for you. But I don't believe I've said anything that you hadn't heard in some form or other in your life already. Is that right? Just do it. Wish I had my wall can. My little do it. Did you ever have one of those oil cans that you squeeze from the bottom, or did your daddy ever have? Oh, you're in one of them churches, huh? Oh, them radical people, I tell you. Yeah, I've had that done too. The only thing about it, the oil can really burn your eyes, you know? You get that oil down in your eyes. But praise God for that kind of faith and that kind of anointing. They don't just touch you with it, they slap you with it. Amen. They bathe you in it. Hallelujah. You slide out of the church into your car that night. I tell you. Amen. I want to sing something. Praise God. There's a scripture in Matthew and it's in Luke also that says Jesus was teaching. He said that we should be single-eyed. Our eyes should be single. I've got two eyes. I've got two eyes, but I see one image. There's a problem. If I start to see two images, I can't focus. I'm being my eyes single. I'm focused on the Spirit of God. I'm focused on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When Peter walked on the water, he was looking at the one who spoke to him. Jesus is showing up in your storm. Jesus will show up in your that if you read that scripture, the first time it talks about the wind, it was contrary, which means it's against you. There's something working against you. They were trying to get, and they were obeying God. I'm talking to people right now. You've been doing all you can. You've done what God's told you to do, but there's something working against you. And then here comes the spirit world of Jesus. And because he's a spirit, they're not used to the spirit world of Jesus. When you're not used to the things of the spirit, it can be scary. They thought even that it meant they were going to die because that was superstition. And so they moved from faith and obedience over into superstition. They started to believe in old tales of things, of men. But then they identified, they tried the Spirit. Remember what the Word says? Try the Spirit, see if they be a God. Lord, if that be you, give me a confirmation. He said, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. He said, but Peter had said something else. But help me to do something. I need something to do rather than just believe. Did you get that? Church, we need to look for what we can do with what we believe. Not just believe. It was not just enough, Pastor, for them to believe what Jesus is out there and just say, but I don't need to do anything, but just stay in the boat. No, Peter, I loved his spiritual ambition. Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you, because you seem to feel safer out there than the guys in the boat do. And we've never seen anybody walk on water, but you look more secure than in the boat. And Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out. And he said he's headed toward Jesus. So to head toward something, you have to have looked at it. You have to look where you're going. But then he said he saw that the wind, not the water, the wind was boisterous. And it was moving the waves, but it was already doing that. It was already doing that. And you know, that's what the enemy tries to do. He got out of there, for as long as his folks on Jesus, he wasn't feeling anything else. He wouldn't even notice it. He was so intent on trying that spirit. And when he heard it was the Lord and he's going to get to walk on water, oh, praise God, I'm going, whoa, what was that? And something from that was already going on. Wait a minute, you can't do this. Don't you remember the trouble you're in? Don't forget the battle you're in. Don't forget the circumstances. You can't be doing this faith stuff. You need to get back in the boat. What made you think? What are you doing? Boy, when you let those thoughts come in, that'll sink you. And if you notice that Jesus came and saved him, Jesus remembers we're but flesh. You still need to step out of the boat, and even if you start to sink, remember he is going to save you and help you. You will not fail. And Jesus did this. Jesus didn't stop the wind. He saved Peter in the wind. The wind didn't stop till they got back into the boat. Jesus wanted to let him know, Peter, it doesn't matter if the winds of trouble are still blowing. If you got me with you, you can keep on going, brother. It ain't going to stop. Is that ministering to anybody in here this morning? Give God a get praise for the word that he's speaking to you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.